You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA, LockedOnBulls.com, and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on social media on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. 331-979-1369, the place to drop us a voicemail, a text message, whatever you want to talk about, we are here. Thanks for joining us. Part two of two episodes today. So if you listened back to part one, listening now to the text messages version of our episode today, that's all from the listeners, the reactions. We got an overwhelming amount of voicemails and text messages after the firing of Fred Hoiberg, and we wanted to read and discuss as many as possible. We picked out the best ones for you guys, and things got a little bit heated. So thanks for joining us part two here. Reminder, yesterday we dropped two episodes as well. One just following up on Fred Hoiberg previewing the Pacers last night, but some good stuff in there, especially breaking down John Paxson's media rounds on 670 The Score and ESPN 1000, including a ton of audio. Some of the best from the conversation with both the hosts on both big scale radio networks here in Chicago. So go check that out. And go check out part one. If you are listening to part two first, go check out part one as well. We break down the Pacers game last night on top of a bunch of other stuff. So without further ado, here is part two. Let's get to some text messages. So we got to the voicemails yesterday, and we wanted to run through as many text messages as we can, just kind of another part to the reacting of Fred Hoiberg, and then we can kind of move on from that era. But we wanted to just get as many thoughts out there from you, the Bulls fan, kind of just, I know you guys want to hear it too, from what other Bulls fans are feeling. And there's been a lot of stuff going around the last 48 hours about the firing, and everybody's got a hot take left and right. But let's run through some of these, Matt. So this starts with the 630, says, what surprises me most about this move, handpick Fred to replace Thibs and overhaul the offense, give him bad pieces for what he needs from the movement the moment he arrives, then fire him when it doesn't work. I'm overall on board with letting Fred go, but the long view on this looks more like a front office problem than a coaching problem. But since the front office doesn't have any pressure on their jobs from ownership, they can make bad long-term moves without any repercussions. I thought that was said perfectly.
Congratulations to 630-297. He hit the nail on the head. That's, you know, basically exactly how I feel about this situation. Getting rid of Fred fixes a problem, being in that problem being this guy can't command a locker room. He can't lead NBA players. He can't inspire NBA players. And he doesn't seem to be all that great at making in-game adjustments or game-to-game preparations for specific opponents. Lacking. This guy ain't it. You recognize that? You get rid of him. The problem is these same yahoos that hired this guy and sold him to us as, oh, great replacement for Tom Thibodeau. He's going to take this Bulls team into the stratosphere. We love this guy. Those guys are still in charge. And those guys say things like, I hold myself accountable. We have to hold ourselves accountable. And if there ever comes a time when Jerry and Michael tell us that we're not getting the job done, then we'll leave. But guess what? No accountability. Zero. None. They are this ownership group is loyal to a fault. Loyal to a fault, and there's no other way to say it. Great text. Completely agree with this person.
I want a t-shirt that lists all the coaching hires, all the coaches that have been in this John Paxson era. I want one of those, you know, like how the jerseys, like with the Redskins and all their quarterbacks, or the Browns with all their quarterbacks.
Or, yeah, the Cleveland Browns quarterback jerseys, but instead it's Bulls head coaches and the Paxson regime. Yeah,
absolutely. Abso-friggin-lutely.
I would buy one of those. I would buy one of those before contributing to a billboard. You can't wear a billboard.
All right, on to the 224. So Jim Boylan, the coach for the next couple of years, or just the remainder of this season. Matt, this is kind of like tossed up in the air. Like, I've heard multiple different things. It's like I listened to Shams Charania talk on a podcast the other day on Redline Radio. He said, you know, the anticipation right now is that he's going to finish this season and they're going to reevaluate things. That kind of counters some other things where we've heard, well, no, he's going to be the coach till 2019, 2020. Even you said that they've given some wiggle room here. So I don't think it's definitive, but if you had to place money on it, I think Boylan's here to the extent of 2019, 2020, barring anything disastrous happening.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely outcome. Unless they're really unimpressed with Boylan, they're going to let him continue to serve as the head coach going into next season. Whether he makes it through the entirety of next season, there's another question. They may, you know, if they don't love Boylan at some point next season, make another midseason move, and then that time hire not a new official head coach, but go the interim route and get a jump start on their coaching search. That is, of course, assuming that this front office actually wants to go through something as, you know, arduous and exhausting as, oh, I don't know, doing your goddamn job and going through a real coaching search, because they didn't do that when they fired Tom Thibodeau.
Matt, they're doing their future coaching search by watching Northwestern games. What are you talking about?
Chris Collins, baby.
It's going to happen.
They got Daddy Collins as their special advisor. Who's heard from Doug Collins? Does anybody know what the hell his role is on this team? Paxson was asked about him on one of the radio shows yesterday, and he said, "You know, he's just a great voice for me to, you know, he's a great basketball mind, and I value his opinion. I bounce ideas off of him, and
he's a friend with a job title.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but hey, because Daddy Collins is here, the jokes about Chris Collins coming from Northwestern to now be the next coach of the Bulls are already rolling in. And, oh, God, I hope it's just jokes and not reality. Like, you know, who knows? Like, Chris Collins seems to be doing a pretty interesting, fun job coaching a men's basketball team at Northwestern that's becoming more relevant than it was. You know, made a fun little, tourney run with them a couple years back. But, I mean, it would just be the latest and a ridiculous example of this Bulls team being classic Bulls and trying so hard to not try at all when it comes to doing their jobs.
They humbled IU a little bit earlier this week, almost pulled off a victory against them. So, yeah, you're right. Like if I could put money, if I could find an odds maker right now that could put the odds of the next Bulls head coach up right now, I would put a decent chunk of money on Chris Collins being the next Bulls head coach after Boylan, if that happens.
What's Tim Floyd up to these days?
Tim Floyd. All right, to the 510, a frequent texter of ours, Aaron from California. Hey, guys, now that Hoiberg's been fired, I didn't feel like he was the greatest coach due to his apparent inability to be an emotional leader for his players. I still feel bad for him getting fired now with all the weird lineups and injuries he's had. I personally would have wanted him to get farther through the season first, but Paxson just claimed in the interview it's not because of the record, but because of the energy. If he's implying a locker room deficiency of Hoiberg, I could maybe understand that. Just off of his resume, what people have been saying, I'm hopeful for Jim Boylan being something. It's from Aaron from California. Matt, I just want to follow up real quick. Here's the audio from Lauri Markkanen before the Pacers game yesterday answering a question from Casey Johnson. Shout out to Casey Johnson for this question. And asking if Fred had lost the locker room.
It's hard to say. So different, I wouldn't say. I don't know. That's a hard question to ask.
It's a pretty important question to answer, though. I mean, either did or didn't. I mean, and you're in the locker room. I'm in the locker room sometimes, but not in the important times. So from your perspective as a player, do you feel that he had control of the locker room?
Like you said, sometimes he didn't. No. Obviously, the players are... Players take care of themselves, and, I mean... We talked about different stuff in the locker room, but I don't think we talked about, like, coaches' decisions or nothing like that, so...
Matt, this was the first time that I think since Lowry's been in Chicago, he's kind of been pressed on an issue, you know? And he kind of started out kind of making it like a little bit of an awkward joke, and then he realized the seriousness of the situation. I think it was summed up best by saying, like, Lowry felt bad about talking about it, but at the same time, he was kind of truthful in his responses, you know?
God bless Markkanen. Not a great poker face on that kid. I mean, he did his best he could to be civil and non-confrontational and say, you know, yeah, guys talk in the locker room. We never really talked about Fred's coaching decisions or anything like that. But you could clearly, just based on his initial reaction of mumbling and just kind of, dead-eyed silence, trying to figure out what to say, that's the answer right there. The initial reaction to hearing the question is his answer, and that is why I say kid's got no poker face, because you know his immediate brain train of thought was, yeah, Fred lost the locker room, but he knew that it wouldn't be tactful and it wouldn't be nice and it wouldn't be right to say so, especially for a pretty soft-spoken kid. So I mean, yeah, he tiptoed around the answer, but in doing so, because he's got a bad poker face, he gave us the answer. And you know, no fault on Lowry for that. I don't think anybody should come at him for that. He was just trying to do the best of an awkward situation. But to the other point about Aaron saying, you know, feel bad for Fred, whether or not he could coach or not, and, you know, clearly couldn't be an emotional leader of this team. Look, I keep hearing and seeing all these Bulls fans over the last 72 hours saying, oh, man, I feel bad for Fred. The guy never got a chance. We even heard Steve Kerr say that. In his comments, in his reaction to learning of Hoiber being fired. Look, I don't give a damn. I really don't. I never believed in Fred Hoiber being the right guy for this job. Let's be real. He was probably underqualified for this job. Let's be real. Jim Boylan's resume at the NBA level, way more impressive and filled out than Hoiberg's non-existent resume at the NBA level, other than playing in the NBA and having a brief stint serving in a front office position. So no, I don't feel bad for Fred. You know why? Because he can go back to the college level and be seen as a great college coach wherever, whether it's going back to Iowa State or finding a new home. I don't think he has what it takes to coach in the NBA. And oh, by the way, in the meantime, the Bulls are still paying him $5 million this season and giving him the back two-thirds of the season off. And they're going to pay him $5 million more next season to not coach this team. So I'm sorry, for a guy who never proved to me that he has what it takes to coach at this level, he's still collecting $25 million when it's all said and done. Feel bad for the guy? Fuck off.
The paycheck gets me. That's where I stop feeling bad, is the paycheck. So
Fred's laughing his ass off at home right now. Laughing his ass off. The guy was miserable. I think he wanted to get fired. And guess what? That severance, oh boy, that's still going to come through, and it looks pretty fat for Fred.
All right, under the 319. Hey, it's Jordan from Iowa. I just wanted to share my opinions on Hoiberg's firing. I don't think that Fred was given enough time with a healthy group of players to give Bulls fans a real case on why he should stay or leave. However, I don't believe this season is the reason he was fired. I have a feeling that he was on the hot seat for 2+ years, most notably when we had the three alphas. Garpax probably expected more than the trio, knowing them. Had this planned from the moment the Bulls lost four straight to Boston from Rondo's injury. I could go on for days, my suspicions, but I won't, so you guys have time for the rest of the show. Thanks for reading, and hope you guys have a happy holidays, hashtag Bulls Nation. You know, that's an interesting theory, but I think that they, you know, Paxson said he doesn't believe that they didn't give Fred an opportunity, and I genuinely think Foreman and Paxson believe that. Like, as wild as that is, I think both of those guys truly in their hearts believe that they gave Fred every opportunity to do what they wanted to do, and that was completely and flat out wrong.
In some way, you can say it's wrong. In another way, you can say that they gave him 3 years and change to make an impression, to prove to them that he had what it takes to coach at this level. You can say, oh, come on, they gave him the last gasp, you know, tired old, you know, rags of the D. Rose Joakim Bulls when he took over for Tibbs. And then they said, don't worry, Fred, we're going to get younger, more athletic, and we're going to get you the right kind of guys to play in your system. And then because they got scared and wanted to stay relevant and wanted to get back to the playoffs after being embarrassed by not making the playoffs for the first time in a long time, saw, oh, hey, we can go get Dwayne Wade. And, oh, hey, we can go get Rajon Rondo. Those are two big names. Those are two well-respected veterans in this league. Let's go. Let's do it. And gave Fred that pile of crap. And then, of course, the locker room thing became an issue because Wade stroked Butler's ego. Butler stroked Wade's ego. Rondo spoke up and stood up for the other kids. Rondo threw his headband at Jim Boylan. Rondo did this. Rondo did that. The Instagram post. And guess what? All of that happened because Fred can't control a locker room. So you could say all these, you know, these three different iterations of a roster and a lineup and three different seasons where Fred was just handed this pile of shit and asked to turn it into a nice, delicious pie. Okay, yes, that is true. And for that, you can be mad at the front office. And I know we all are. But to say that they didn't give Fred a chance to at least prove that he can earn the respect of NBA players, he had 3 years and change to do that. And he couldn't do it with anybody. Couldn't do it with old respected veterans with egos like Wade and Rondo. Couldn't do it with rising stars with rising egos like Jimmy Butler. Couldn't do it with old respected role players like Joakim Noah. And so far this season seems to have been struggling to do it with young guys who really don't have much of an ego at all yet. So if Fred can't do that with any kinds of guys, then Paxson is not wrong in saying we didn't give Fred a chance. He's not wrong in saying we didn't give Fred a chance to prove something to us. Prove anything to us that says we should still have faith in you being our guy. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that.
Well, it kind of goes in line. Your thinking is kind of in line with what Jordan from Iowa was saying. Is like, this has been an ongoing thing for 3 years. And so you're kind of making the case for Jordan from Iowa saying, like, I've got my suspicions. And yeah, the stuff that happened at the beginning of Fred's tenure all the way to now adds up. Like, all of that adds together to why that they made this move right now. So, I mean, there's cases for both sides, and I think you're right in the fact that they did give him an opportunity to show something, which is very vague and made it almost impossible for him to be able to do that. It's just an impossible situation I think he was put in. But I think they do, like you said, I think it was time to make a move. If they were going to do anything, time to get a fresh voice in there, and that's what we've got.
I mean, I'll just say it this way. Yes, the Bulls dealt Fred three straight bad hands. Fred's sitting at the poker table, and the Bulls dealt him three straight bad hands. Instead of choosing to play any of those three bad hands, Fred folded, check folded, and folded when he had already paid the blinds and got up and said, does anyone need another Zima? I'm about to head out. I'm going to cash out with my what was buying tonight? $20? All right. I sat through and put in my blinds a few times, but I'm going to cash out with my $17.80. And hey, thanks for having me. I got to go, put my Joseph A. Bank shirt through the wash because it smells too much like cigar smoke. Like, that is Fred in a nutshell. Yeah, he was dealt bad hands, but the dude can't even play poker.
Interesting thought. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, but thinking about back to like all 3 years, there were certain situations. And I mean, you can make cases for Fred did play some of the hands that he was given even if it was shit. I mean, did he or did he not drag a Bulls team that was embarrassingly bad with the three alphas to a playoff series? Like, that happened. I mean, Jimmy Butler did it, but so did in certain
did
stretches.
Did he do that?
Fred Hoiberg
did he
had
do that?
Something to do with that? With man,
thank you. Fred had nothing to do with that team scraping into an eighth seed.
Now you're giving Fred Hoiberg zero credit, which we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be doing that.
Why? Why?
To sit here and say that you think a turnover of 27
players... What did
he
do to earn any credit while he was here? Outside of finally calling out the front office and refusing to play Jabari at the three... And saying, I'm going to start this Wendell kid who's a rookie instead of the established, respected veteran in Robin Lopez. Instead of finally starting to stick it to the front office with the shit hands that they were giving him at the very tail end, which is not earning him respect as a guy who knows his basketball and how to coach, but just a guy standing up for himself. What did he do to earn respect from the fans while he was here?
Does last year count for nothing? The stretch of games that they went on, they were one of the best offensive teams in the NBA between December and January. Does that count for nothing? Does getting to a playoff series with Rondo, Wade, and Butler not earn you any type of respect?
No. Flat answer, no.
I mean, I think that's a case of opinion more than facts, Matt. Like, you can't sit here and tell me that he didn't do anything in his three and a fraction years, even with the impossible hands he was given. And I mean, we can have this argument for years. Like, we could sit here and rehash out everything, and I don't think either one of us are going to agree one way or the other, but it just all goes back to our frustration with the front office. And I think that's more so where the anger comes about what Fred Hoiberg did or did not do. And the underlying theme here is the management.
Yeah. And I don't want to get any of our listeners confused. I'm not defending the front office here and just, you know, bashing in on Fred and kicking a dog while he's down. The front office hired Fred in the first place and sold him to us as all of these great things and a perfect replacement for Tom Thibodeau, one of the most winning coaches in NBA history when they fired him, by the way. So, yes, no, it is still all about the front office. It still goes back to the front office because they hired this milquetoast person. They hired this incompetent person to run their team. They paid this incompetent person $25 million to be their guy and are paying him $7.5 million of that to go away and not be their guy anymore. So, yes, it's all about the front office. But don't sit here and ask me to give Fred a bunch of credit for shit he doesn't deserve credit for. Bullshit.
I mean, you can be mad about the lack of leadership, the lack of voice, all of those things. The quote-unquote, the word that makes me want to cringe every time I hear it, is the intangibles that this front office was looking for. Fine, but I don't know if I discredit him for being a basketball coach because, frankly, man, three and a fraction years, I still don't know if Fred can coach in the NBA or not. Do you?
Yeah, I do know. He can't.
So you can evaluate Fred Hoiberg's tenure on the three rosters that he was given.
Yeah. Because guess what? None of those three rosters paid him any respect and listened to a damn word he had
to say.
That's
different than what he was doing on the floor.
No, it's not. No, it's not. If you can't do that at the NBA level, then you can't coach at the NBA level. Plain and simple.
We'll find out if Fred Hoiberg gets another job somewhere at some point and see if he can actually coach. I'm just still not convinced that I have any idea if he's an NBA coach or not. Because frankly, I did not. He wasn't given anything, and I don't want to sit here and rehash that again. Like this,
don't Jordan, don't legitimize it that way and say he wasn't given anything. You're asking. We don't know whether or not he can coach at the NBA level. We found out. Over three full seasons and change, we found out that the answer is no. Don't ask me about X's and O's. Don't ask me about as a basketball coach. As an NBA coach, a big part of the job is, can you control an NBA locker room? Can you control NBA egos and get them to work together to buy into your system? Time and time again, Fred has proven that regardless of where his players are in the NBA spectrum, of two-way players to mega stars, he couldn't control any of them, couldn't get any of them to buy in. So no, it's a big part of the job. He has failed to do that. Thus, he is not an NBA coach. You can't hash that out any other way.
All I'm going to say to follow that up is Fred didn't pay Cristiano Felicio $32 million. He didn't pay...
I didn't argue that he did.
...to bring in Dwayne Wade for $40 million.
I didn't argue that he did.
He didn't trade Cameron Payne for Cameron Payne. He didn't do all of these other moves to make it impossible. He didn't give Jabari Parker $20 million to come in and play.
Jordan, what did I say, man? I know that the bad guys are still the front office and that they are still the biggest problem here. But just because the front office is the main problem doesn't mean we can't be realistic when it comes to analyzing and criticizing Fred Hoiberg as a guy who can run an NBA team from the head coach's chair, because he can't. Flat out, he can't. You don't need to list to me all the mistakes the front office has made. I know them. Hiring Fred was one of them. And hiring Fred was one of them because Fred has proven to us that he can't coach.
That's a difference of opinion, man. I still will sit here and say that I don't know if he can be an NBA coach or not. And a large part of that is roster construction. So if you want to be mad about the front office and roster construction, you can't also sit here and tell me that Fred can't coach. Like, ask any other NBA coach outside of Greg Popovich to coach the roster that he was given, and I think you would get similar results. Just flat out, I think you would get similar results. That's all I'm going to say.
You keep ignoring the point that I'm making, Jordan, which is that nobody respects Fred.
I'm not disagreeing with that. That's the reason why
you're
I was
a kid on a rookie contract, and you can't, and you don't want to listen to your head coach, and your head coach Fred Hoiberg doesn't inspire you, doesn't get you to play the way he wants you to play, then no, I don't care what you keep saying. Well, I we don't know yet if Fred can coach at the NBA level, and you're talking about basketball X's. No, don't give me that shit. I don't care. The biggest part of a coach's job in the NBA is not about, hey, we got to get the right schemes here. It is a players-driven league. Players go out and players win the game. Coaches just got to make sure everybody gets along and buys in.
You just said it's a players' league.
No, I'm making my point that is something that Fred can't do.
I mean, that's not a secret, though. That's not something that I haven't said a million times in this show before. It's the biggest weakness is he couldn't get stars to buy in. And at this point now, he couldn't even get fringe G-leaguers to buy into what he was doing. So I agree, Matt.
Which disqualifies him from being qualified to be a head coach at the NBA level. That's it. Start and full stop right there. The guy proved that he can't command any kind of respect from his players in the locker room and in timeouts and on the floor. If guys aren't listening to you, guess what? You don't have what it takes to coach at this level. Go back to college. Have a great time.
We'll find out soon enough. I don't think this is the end for Fred in the NBA. Just be honest with you. I know there's differing opinions out there, too.
He can go back to a front office role if he wants to. not here.
Yeah, not
but,
here.
But, you know, he can go back to a front office role. But a front office role does not demand as much of having a strong voice that players listen to. Front office guys just have to come around every once in a while, check in on guys at a practice, and negotiate guys' contracts. If they're trying to pitch free agents, they got to pitch the free agents. Fred, yeah, maybe he can do that. If he doesn't want to coach anymore. If he wants to coach, if he wants to keep coaching basketball, college. Hey, go coach your son's high school team if you want to. Have a great time, buddy. Make sure you bring enough orange slices for everybody at halftime.
You're taking unnecessary shots at Fred because you're pissed off at the front office. And that's the same reason the Bulls fans are doing the same thing. Like, I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, but...
Bulls fans are defending Fred. And I ask, why? What has he done to earn you defending him?
Bulls fans, I don't think, are necessarily defending him. I think they're like I said before in our Fred Hoiberg episode, they're caping with him in order to push their frustration back onto the front office. They're pissed off at the front office, not at Fred. And they're feeling bad for him and giving him all these reasons of saying, oh, I feel bad for him. It's just because they're pissed off at the front office. They're not. They could care less, I think, about whether or not Fred could coach. A lot of the fans said pre, and we've had text and voicemail saying Fred can't coach in this league. I'd like to see him gone. I think they're just pissed off at the timing, and they're pissed off at the front office in general, that they got this wrong. And we kind of knew coming into this that this was going to happen. I think that's why Bulls fans are giving him the benefit of the doubt more so than anything. But Matt, I'm still going to stick to my opinion is I still don't know if Fred Hoiberg can coach in this league. And I still don't think a lot of the NBA teams in this league don't know. And I think somebody will give him a shot. And I don't know if that's next year. I don't know if that's 2 years from now, but I don't think he's done in the NBA. And on top of that, I don't think he's going back to college. He already said he doesn't want to go back to college right now. And he hated recruiting. So, and that's larger picture, and really who cares about where he's going next. But I just don't think his time is done as an NBA coach right now.
Okay. Well, let me know when the last horse finally crosses the finish line, Jordan.
All right, I will. I'll be standing there snapping photos for you. Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. You want to jump into the conversation, drop us a text or a voicemail there. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Packham, Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com